Welcome to this week's episode of Uncovered for Pole Dancers, a podcast created by pole dancers for pole dancers. I'm your host, Stephanie Quinn. I'm joined by two guests. Both have been on the podcast before. I'm going to be welcoming back Mon. Welcome to the podcast, Mon.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yeah, she's been here for, we've done a few with you. Did we do confidence in studio?
We did clicks first.
Oh, yes. That was a juicy episode.
That was a good one, yeah. And then we did pole identity.
Oh, yes.
That was another juicy one.
And we have another juicy episode today. So we're also joined by Ross. Welcome back to the podcast, Ross.
Hi.
Ross is my husband, and we did the episode about customer experience. So you might be wondering why I'm bringing together a counselor and a customer experience specialist. And the customer experience part has nothing to do with today's episode. Today, we're talking about partners and pole. So we're talking about some of the dynamics we have with our romantic partners, and even sometimes like relationships with family as well. So, yeah. So Ross is bringing the masculine perspective today.
Oh, the pole hubby.
The pole hubby perspective. And Mon's bringing her counselor background and all that experience. But funnily enough, Ross is also studying business psych. I don't think that has to do with anything this, but here we are, the three of us, and we're going to dive into this topic. The reason we're talking about this today is in the studio, I've had a couple of conversations recently. One of the women came to me and said, have you ever thought about doing a podcast episode about, you know, boyfriends or partners in pole? She's like, because there's been some struggles I've been having in my relationship. And some of those things come to like from a, they don't quite understand why she wants to go explore like this sexy side. They don't, you know, they don't want her spotted by men in the studio. We are an all-femme studio, but there have been just some occasions at photo shoots and stuff, and she's like, I don't know what to do, and to the point that she's considered quitting pole. However, I've also had conversations, I overheard a conversation in studio the other night where somebody posted something on social media, and their mum's like, it was like the sexy stuff, and their mum was like, why are you posting that stuff? Or I hear conversations of, why will you post that on social media but you won't dance for me at home? So
Yes, I got that one actually from my husband. It wasn't about a video though. He was like, you'd never send me sexy photos, why do you post them on Instagram?
So yeah, like it's things like this. And like I remember when I had Kelsey on the podcast and we did the Your First Pole episode, and I told her I've never danced sexy for a partner on a pole, and she was just like mind blown. I'm like, I'm so fucking tired when I come home. Last thing I want to do. And look, in all fairness, sexy isn't something I'm very fluid at. But like I've just never done it. But yeah, so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about relationships and pole, and you know, some of the red flags that we might see, some of the valid concerns they might have as well. Because just because we want to go and be sexy and do our thing in the studio doesn't mean that their concerns aren't valid. So we're going to dive in with just like, first of all, thoughts on the topic. We'll start with you, Mon, because you've already jumped in with a few experience elements.
Yeah, that's funny what you said about like not dancing sexy for your partner, because I had a student comment something to me when I was instructing once, like, oh, your hubby must just love you at home. And I was like, oh, he does not get this side of me. I did a twerk class once and I was like nailing it and I felt so hot, and I actually went home and I was like, watch this, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And he was looking at me like, oh yeah, that's like great. And I was like, no, this is not it. You're not seeing it. But anyway, I think there's like, there's so many different things going on here. I think there's a topic of social media in relationships. There's how to communicate with your partner around like, what are your values? How do you feel about different hobbies? Like the independence that you need within a relationship versus what are the mutual values and goals of the relationship together? How do you manage that and balance that? And then I guess you mentioned Steph as well when we were talking that you have heard and seen some things from students regarding their partners that could be bordering on controlling and like red flag behavior. So then there's that issue of like, well, what's the difference between, hey, my partner has really valid concerns and I want to understand that and work out how I can be mindful of that and respectful of that, versus like, okay, what is the difference between that and like really controlling red flag behavior, and how can I differentiate that and work out what do I want to do with that? So yeah, they're the kind of things that stick out for me, but I'm super, super keen to hear what Ross's experience has been as a pole hubby. Like, how do you feel about stepping pole dancer, pole studio owner?
Yeah, look, there's a big part of me that goes to, you know, the self-confidence of a person, you know, their own self-efficacy in those sorts of situations. And you would probably agree that I'm generally a very confident person. There's not too many things that sort of push me back or get me, you know, off guard. So Steph being able to do what she wants and, you know, choose the decisions that she wants to go and do these sorts of things, I'm supportive because I'm not threatened in any way from that perspective. And I think that comes down to a big part of the resistance from boyfriends or partners, husbands, is this kind of, you know, potential insecurity around losing, you know, what you've got. And that, you know, for a lot of, I'll say this, as a man, it's really hard to get a girlfriend. Like, you know, it's something that probably a lot of people don't think about, but actually finding a partner as a man is a challenging thing. And I think when you've got one, especially one that you like, you're kind of going to do some things to make sure you try and keep it, right? And I think that's where, as you pointed out, the importance of communication is just second to none. In having those conversations to understand each other's, you know, position on where you're sitting and understand why are you doing those things on social media? Because without the conversations, you know, the man sits with his ideas and, you know, the woman sits with her ideas, and they could be completely misaligned, even though they both want the same thing. But yeah, so yeah, it's an interesting one. I'll try my best to put on my jealousy hat and think about it from that perspective during the podcast.
I couldn't make him jealous if I tried. Walk down the street topless and he used to be like, go, babe. Yeah,
you do you.
But I think there's two aspects to jealousy, though. There's I'm jealous that you're putting yourself out there and other people might see a side of you that I want myself. And there's that kind of aspect to the jealousy. But then I think there's also a jealousy that creeps in when we get involved in the poll. We don't just go every Wednesday night for an hour. We're there 3 nights a week for 3 hours once that addiction starts to kick in. And then we start, you know, we've got show nights that creep in and comps, and then we become instructors and it becomes like our whole life, our whole world, right? So then I think there's that jealousy that's like, well, you're spending so much time away from me and I miss you. And, you know, that's where I think you can start to have those conversations around like, hey, I know this is important to you, but I'm now not feeling like a priority in our relationship. So I think there's two different types of jealousy that we're talking about as well. And it would be important to differentiate between the two to work out what's going on.
Yeah, I would agree. And one of the very interesting, and I would love to do research on this. Maybe this is on your business side. But one thing I do find is the number of people who, when they start pole, their relationship changes within, you know, a couple of months, a year. We've seen a lot, I've seen, particularly in our studio, a lot of people, and maybe just because it happened to me, so I'm a little bit more hypervigilant to it. I've seen a lot of people change their relationship after they start pole dancing. And I think it is that newfound like confidence. We talk about that, like the self-esteem element, all of those things start coming. And like reflecting on my previous marriage, I very vividly remember the, oh, you're now confident Miss Thing, like you're this, you're that. Like Yeah, but I also just started to figure out what it was that I wanted. And like, I wouldn't say pole was ever an issue there, but the being away from home thing felt like an issue. And it's only now that I can reflect back. It didn't feel like an issue at the time, but now that I can reflect back on that relationship, I can see those things. But at the time, I couldn't see those things, right? But yeah, always supportive. I think what's interesting, like Ross's perspective needs to, I guess, a bit of context here. I was an instructor when we got together. So I'd already been polling for a while. It was already, you know, a job that I was doing. So your perspective has never been of me just as a pole dancer per se. However, there's still the things of me being out a lot. Now me owning a studio, we're literally talking about this morning. And if I turned to him and said, like, put on a G-string and some pasties and did something on social media and put it out there, and I'm like, oh, but I have to do this for the studio. He'd, like, I would be able to sell it enough and him go, yeah, look, this, if this is what you need to do, like, I understand and respect that, but I...
Yeah, it's part of that communication process that if there's, like, me in the, you know, pragmatic way that I'm going to think about something is, you know, because the initial question was, like, if I got in a captivating bikini and went and posted that on social media, like, what would you think? And I'm sitting there like, fuck, that is actually a really valid question. Cause you know, the initial instinct is like, well, why? Like, what's the point of that? But then you got to take that step back and go, well, actually, what are you trying to achieve with it? There's additional questions that can be asked from Steph's perspective because she owns the business, and you can say, are you trying to get more customers? Are you trying to attract certain customers? Are you trying to do certain things as opposed to just feel sexy and get that validation from people who mean absolutely nothing to you? You know, that vortex of social media. So it was a really interesting question. And I guess you haven't done that before. So I've never actually had to be faced with the reality of it.
But there definitely are things that I think about. And I'm like, I'm not going to put this on my feed because this is sexy. So it's going to go on my story. So it's got a short life, right? Mm. So I definitely think about it. For context, a captivating bikini is something we're seeing a lot of the women in our studio wear. They're just like a much smaller.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Much smaller. They're essentially.
They leave nothing to the imagination.
Nothing to the imagination. But our girls feel fucking empowered in them. So, and the women who were wearing them feel good. And we were saying that, like, you walk in one in our studio and they're like, oh, that's super cute. You look great. So, like, you're feeling good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just a slight, I guess, what's the word? A plug for captivating kids.
And this is where you can get your...
We are not affiliated in any perspective, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. I did a nude photo shoot once in like the midst of my pole journey. And it actually had nothing to do with pole. It wasn't a pole photographer. It was like I've had a child and I want to feel good about myself and just be me in my natural. And it was a great experience. I highly recommend it to everyone. It was one of the best photo shoots I've ever done. But my husband had very strong opinions about whether I was going to post these photos on social media. And we had like a lot of chats about it and a lot of discussions. And it's interesting because he's very much like you, pretty confident in himself and in our relationship. So I don't think he would ever feel the need to tell me what I can and can't do. And he never would. But he's also very confident to be like, hey, I've got some strong feelings on this and I think you should know about them. And so then I needed to make a decision in that relationship. How important are his feelings to me? And how important is it to me that I post these? Why am I posting? And that really determined which ones I felt comfortable posting, which ones I didn't. And I think his concerns were valid, like, and they were important because they were coming from a place of like, here's how I feel, do what you want, but I feel quite strongly about this, and these are the reasons why, and I could understand those reasons. And but again, like what Ross said before, it came down to very, very open communication. There was no like, I want you to do this. Well, I'm going to do it my way and blah, 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 blah. So, I think it's also I think it's, I have two questions as well for your student. I don't know if you have the answers because obviously you're not her, but
I'll do my best.
Is the partner's issue with pole? Like, I don't want you to do pole. I don't want you dancing on a pole. I don't want you being a part of that world. Or is it, I'm concerned about what you're posting on social media. Because I think they're two different questions.
I'll jump in. The thing that came to me was when you're in a partnership, right, you're together. Mm. And there's no doubt that the actions of one reflects on the other, right? So to that point, how much does the other person believe that the behavior of their partner who's, you know, getting into this pole dancing, and this all comes down to the person who's, you know, projecting, right? It's like if you, you know, maybe there's an element to if you go and do this and post that stuff, how are people going to perceive me for being in a relationship with you doing that? And if they associate the sport with something negative, then I think, yeah, there's a large amount that they're going to project onto that. They go, well, I don't want people to see me, you know, being in a relationship with somebody that does that. I don't know. That's just.
I think for him, if I can remember correctly, because it was a couple of years ago, it was a big part for him that was like, I love how confident you are. I love how sexy you feel. But I feel like there is something sacred to our relationship and there are some things that should be just for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I respect that, you know. And he was like, you know, that's just how I feel on the subject. Well, obviously go and do what you want. Mm-hmm. So, and I was respectful of that.
And I think we can't take away where pole has come from. And yes, pole started in the strip clubs and there is still, I often forget that we're in this bubble when we're pole dancers and everything has become so normalized for us. And, but the general population, and I do that in quotations, still associate it with stripping, which is fine because it should be associated with stripping. But the sexy stuff, they obviously, it's, I think it comes in this part, it comes down to, well, people do that to get whatever their take is on strippers, like, you're doing that to be sexy for somebody else. Mm. Like, I think that's where some of this comes into play. In particular, I think there's a couple of like stories in my head. There was obviously the one that brought this up, but I hear a lot of things being in a studio. And I think it was more the, you're going to do this to be sexy for somebody else, not you're doing this. For, and I might be wrong, but that was my interpretation.
Is it almost like you're going out seeking attention of other men? Was it kind of like that perspective?
And like, again, I think so. But again, I have a couple of stories in my head because I've definitely had people who have come in like, are there any women here? I'm like, yep, we're a femme-only studio. And they're like, oh, good, because I wouldn't be allowed to be here if there were men in the space. So I think it is that you want to learn this for other people rather than the acceptance of we do this for ourselves.
Again, somebody that's got a partner like that, I got to say that's not good. If you can't go and do something and there's not trust in your relationship to, you know, go and involve yourself with certain activities that have both men and women involved, and your partner can't trust you to go and, you know, participate in those without, you know, the risk of you running away with somebody else. No.
It screams insecurity, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Like, mate. It's interesting though, I did hear, we had a girl in our studio when I was training who had very strong religious and cultural restrictions around what she can and can't do in front of men.
Yeah.
In regards to how much of her body can be seen by men.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very careful, like she wouldn't perform in show nights, for example, but she was happy to train at the studio because it was only females. So she sought the studio out for that reason, which that is something different. Like that I can respect.
Yeah, we've definitely, like where we are situated, we have a large Muslim population in and around the around the studio. So we've definitely had women come in and be like, are there any men here? It's like, nope. And then just take, you know, their burqa, their dress, all of that off and be just a normal active wear. But as soon as they leave, they cover back up because that is religious for them. So I want to get a little bit back, not topic, but back to our questions. So how should you listen and understand your partner's valid concern? Like, what are the, like, what are some, like, if I'm sitting here and going, I have this partner who gets angry when I go to pole class or, you know, at times will ramp up the conversation about it in a negative context, how can I actually sit down and listen?
I think it's really important to understand what the concern is.
Yeah.
The only way that you can do that is by asking questions and listening to the answer. Often when we get into heated conversations, we instantly go into defense mode. We're constantly thinking about what our next thing we're going to say is and how we can make our point and how we can defend ourselves. But the problem with that is you've got no information. So it's really important, if you want to communicate with your partner and understand their concerns, you have to ask the right questions and then you have to be willing to listen to the responses and look for understanding and meaning. So if you could, if your partner comes back at you with a really angry, like, oh, you're just doing blah, 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 try to understand what's underneath the anger. So like, okay, you sound really angry about this. I really want to understand what your concerns are. Can you tell me more about, like, what is it specifically that's upsetting you? Is it the fact that I do poll? Is it the fact that I'm posting? Like, give me more information so I know what I'm working with.
Specifically, yeah, being really upfront at the start of that conversation to say, you like doing poll a lot. You clearly like your partner a lot. You know, you love both things, and saying you want to be able to make the two work together. And in that case, you're willing to work and have the conversation to understand how that's possible, so that it doesn't feel like a one or the other, right? Because it certainly doesn't need to be. But I guess then the question is, when you're having those conversations and they won't budge, right? You know, it's like
they're locked.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you're trying to explain, you know, oh, yeah, I'm doing this for me or whatever, but they're just like, I don't care.
Well, yeah, is that then a red flag behavior where they don't care about your own concerns or your own desires to do poll, or they're not willing? Does it go both ways? Like, they're getting upset about this, but they're not willing to understand why it's so important to you.
I think in that instance, you really need to make a decision. Hey, for me as well, I would be having the conversation before I even start poll. Like, how do you feel about me starting this new hobby? I know for me, I had an ex-partner. I actually considered starting pole years before I did.
I know, when I was reading this in your notes, I was like, yeah, were you with somebody else while you're pole? I'm like, I've just always known you to be with Jono, right? Like,
yeah, yes, of course. yeah, very different relationship, actually.
Yeah.
And he was 12 years older than me, and he came from a Catholic background, like a practicing Catholic, but his parents had very strong religious beliefs, like, to the point where she was like, oh, I got my tarot cards read once, and she was like, oh, that's the devil, like, you know, quite strong. And I remember just offhandedly being like, oh, I got this email about pole dancing, I'd love to try it, and he just shut it down straight away, and he was like, there's no way that you're gonna do pole, blah 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 blah. And it's funny talking about red flags, which we'll get into later, but I didn't see that as a very controlling relationship. There was no overt controlling behavior. There was definitely no threat of violence or anything like that. But looking back on that relationship now, there are a lot of really subtle, covert controlling behaviors in that relationship. Not to the point where I was not allowed to have my own life or friends or family or anything like that, but to the point where I was very much expected to just he. Made the decisions he wanted for his life, and I was just kind of expected to tag along. And I think the idea of me having a bit of individuality and exploring who I am and doing what I want to do and pulling away from him threatened him, because the idea of me figuring out who I am meant that he didn't have that control anymore. He didn't have that one up. He didn't have that it was a bit of an ego thing, like, I'm the important person here, and if you figure out who you are and do things that you want to do, that threatens that.
I feel that my previous relationship was very similar to that. It was like, as soon as I started to explore, it was more like, just keep yourself busy sort of thing, while I go do what I'm doing. But Ross, I'm intrigued to know, I was a pole dancer when we got together. I mean, my whole department that I used to work for knew I was a pole dancer. We did like a group. Were you there when we did that? Yeah. We went and did a pole party, like, because there's three of us who were pole dancing at the time. So our whole department went and did a pole party. In the end, it was literally just the men polling and the girls sitting on the side and watching the polling. They like drew abs on their t-shirts and all sorts of shit.
Did you do this pole party as well?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was there. I remember you and Loic doing like a double back hook on a spin pole. Anyway, like, what were your thoughts getting with me, or even like telling your parents that you're dating somebody who's a pole dancer?
Yeah, see, I think this is again where it's a bit hard because I don't give a fuck what people think about me.
He really doesn't.
So therefore,
he had a really dirty mullet until like a couple of days ago.
God, it was horrible. Yeah.
So, his curls are cute though.
That's fairly.
The curls were cute.
The curls were cute.
So to that point, to find somebody that I like who might be doing something that goes slightly against the grain, you know, if somebody judges me negatively for that, I'm like, fuck it, I don't need to spend any time with you. I don't need to give you any energy. So I think from that part, it's really hard to answer that. But naturally, there are a lot of people who do think like that and who do care a lot. You know, the thing that made me think before, and I've played a lot of sport in my life, and I could see the sportiness of pole dancing. So that might be a way to help you know, bring two things together. If your partner, you know, likes rugby or footy or soccer or whatever, show him how pole dancing is actually a sport, to help separate the connotations around the, you know, the stripper side of things and the origins where it comes from. Because again, I got rid of my mully.
We called it a mully.
I went to the barber and I didn't go to my normal one because I made the decision then and there. I'm like, it's going today. So I went and got my hair cut. The guy cutting it, and I was telling him, you know, what I was doing that week and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, my wife owns a pole dancing studio. And he goes, oh, does your normal barber's girlfriend go there? And I'm like, I have no idea. I didn't even know his girlfriend did it. He's like, yeah, she's a stripper. And it's like, so it is so normal for the general population to instantly relate it to, you know, that particular activity. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe because when I go and watch pole competitions, and you specifically the ones that aren't the sexy side of things that do look at it as a sport, it's incredible. The amount of time and effort and energy that girls do to make that what it is. So maybe that's an option to go, hey, to help ease some of your concerns, this is sort of the angle that I like also want to go down and help be more of a sport. You like sport. This is a sport for me that I enjoy. You know,
I think it's also about understanding, I think Ross, you mentioned this before, it's having that open communication about like, okay, what are your concerns and do we need to set some boundaries and rules? Not that I think you should have rules in a relationship. We will talk about that more, but more just genuinely understanding, okay, so you're okay if I do pole, you're okay if I wear the heels, you're okay if I explore that sexy side of me, you're okay if I do comps, but it makes you a little bit uncomfortable if I post it on social media. And then
you don't want me doing dance filthy is like too far, but Miss Pole Dance is okay.
Whatever their concerns are, you take that on board and then you decide, how does that sit with me? Am I okay with that boundary? Yeah. Or does that make me feel like I am pushing myself down for that person?
Yeah. Or I can't be my true self because of those boundaries.
Because there are some, I think, who will be like, yeah, I accept that and I'm okay with that. And there will be some that think, no, I don't think that's a fair boundary, and I think that that is controlling my behavior, and I don't feel like I can fully express myself as a person. You then need to take that information and decide, A, do I continue with pole, or B, do I continue with this relationship? Because if the two keep clashing, A, you're not going to be able to enjoy pole, and you're not going to be a partnership. Your relationship's not going to be able to move forward and grow. It's not going to build in trust. You're going to keep getting gridlocked on the issue. So I think first you need to understand what are the concerns, and then you need to decide how they sit with you. Are they concerns that you can respect and that you do understand and that you are willing to work with, or are they not acceptable, and are they controlling, and are they coming from an angry and insecure place, and is that the type of person I want to be in a relationship with? Because that's a, you know, And pretty big question too.
Yeah, and I mean, that is everyone's personal, like, everybody has that choice on themselves. Mm. It's not what we sit here and talk about today. You might be hearing and being like, but it's not like that for me. And that's okay if that's the situation. And the relationship you decide to be in, it's your decision. You just got to make sure you're happy with whatever style of relationship that is. And it does feed you, and you can be whoever you want to be. And I think for me, I want to empower women to be whoever it is that they want to be. Because when I started doing pole, I found, and I know you're probably the same one, I found my confidence, and that confidence came into my job. It came into my relationship. It came into so many other areas. And because of that confidence, I've achieved so much more than I ever thought I could achieve. So if that.
And that's probably what your partner was afraid of, to be honest.
Yeah, because I'm a fucking weapon, mate.
Because when you mentioned before, like talking about red flags, just some of the comments that he used to throw to you, like, yeah. Oh, think you miss thing now, and oh, like that, he was threatened by you finding your confidence, like that pulled you away from him and out of his control.
Yeah,
I think I think we talked about, I can't remember if we talked about this on the last podcast, but I love thinking about the concept of when somebody doesn't know, you know, somebody starts something new, right? And that whole, you're going into the unknown, right? And there's a large element to that when you're in a relationship and your significant other goes and starts something new. There's an element of, I don't know how this is going to play out. We've never been here in this situation before, especially when there is something specifically like this, which has the ability to help you feel better about yourself and be more confident. And if
has the ability to change you as an individual
and help you grow.
Yes.
And I can imagine this doesn't always happen from the start, because, you know, most of the men partners wouldn't understand that that's the potential that's in there. Maybe they have a view of you that's more innocent than, you know, thinking that this is going to tarnish you or something like that. But it's.
And then they see you get down to pieces at a G-string on a stage. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Who is this girl?
Correct. But it's sitting there and thinking about, you know, we're going in, we're trying something new, and we're going into the unknown. And therefore, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of unknown things that are going to happen. And in a relationship, if you are of a certain type of personality where maybe you don't have a lot of confidence, and that works for your relationship at the time because that suits them more. Mm. And then as you start to change and grow, you know, a lot of people aren't willing to grow and change with that. So that, yeah, it sort of naturally is a very normal reaction to have to resist, because you're changing, they're not willing to change.
It's like you see this in partners as well, where they're both like overweight and one partner starts working on themselves and they get really fit and they get really confident and they start to change and their values change around health, lifestyle, fitness, and the partner who hasn't gone on that journey with them starts to feel insecure, starts to worry that they're going to leave them. My partner's hotter than me now. Like, it's a similar kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Actually, and it's a really good, like, I don't know if comparison's the right word, but yeah, it's that journey of self-discovery.
Well, it's called, like, when you...
Okay, she'll give it the... she'll give it the technical...
The technical term is differentiation. So when you look at successful couples versus unsuccessful couples, there's different stages in the building of a relationship. So you've got the honeymoon phase, which is, like, really easy, right? It doesn't really require any work. You're both figuring each other out. Yeah. You're loving the attention. You're hyper-focused on each other, so you're getting all the attention, all the love, spending all the time together. It's easy, it's nice, it's fun. And then the next stage in a couple's development is differentiation, where you figure out and work out who you are as individuals. And a lot of couples get stuck here because, A, they can't work out who they are without the other person, or they become individuals and can't work out how to reconnect and bring that individuality into the couple dynamic and then reset relationship-based goals. So it's like this kind of pattern where you kind of need to separate a little bit and figure out who you are individually, but then you need to come back together and figure out what that looks like for you as a couple. And I'm wondering, because you guys have done this quite well, actually, and it's interesting Ross's take on the whole pole thing, because he has come along with you on your pole journey. Yes. He gets really involved in the business. He comes and helps out on show nights. I've just got this really this picture of you two in my mind, the one where you, like, you're standing over him and doing the sound stuff. Dream team, hashtag dream team or whatever. And
then we had to, like, Photoshop Renee into something at the time. Yeah. She got left out.
But it's a really good example of that process, right? Because you pulled away, Steph, and you figured out who you are. It gave you confidence. It's created your life trajectory now with, like, your career and all of that stuff. But then you've come together as a couple and gone, what does this mean for us? I mean, Ross is sitting here today on your podcast, you know, so that's supporting that side of you.
A big thing for me is helping Steph be the best version of Steph. Steph helps me be the best version of me all the time. And so I think that is a critical part of being in a relationship, that you support each other in the things that you like and help provide ways to be better. And, you know, it really wasn't even a particularly challenging decision when Steph's like, oh, I'm going to leave a high paying corporate job to go and buy a small business, a pole dancing studio. And hey, I'm not going to get paid very much for the next, you know, little while. And it's like,
support me.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, all right. If this is what you want to do and this is what's going to make you happy, then, like, money's money. You know, you can make do with having less nice things if it's going to do that. So I think that's a really important part. And I guess it probably comes back to that values. Like, what are your personal values? And this is something that individuals across the majority of Western societies don't even think about, like, what are the things that I actually value? And that, you know, they'll probably, if they got asked, say some very arbitrary things that don't actually relate to their behaviors or what they actually do. So one, it's understanding what your own values are, because it helps you understand, you know, where it is you want to spend your time and what you want to do. But two, to your point, if you're growing and changing, you can understand how your values change. And if they're not aligned with your partner's, then yeah, you've got Buckley's chance of really making that whole thing work, let alone if they start changing.
And they clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think using our relationship as an example, it's really important to highlight that our communication is only as strong as it is because I went to therapy at a point in time. And we've talked about this in our past of going, if I probably didn't seek therapy as early in the relationship that I did, we probably wouldn't have lasted, because at the start of our relationship was very explosive, I think is the best.
It was challenging. And I couldn't communicate for shit.
Yeah. And I couldn't communicate for shit. Hence why I've already got one divorce under my belt. But like that, we learned to communicate through that process because I was in therapy and I was being told I had to communicate and being given the skills. So that gave our relationship the skills. So coming all the way back to like the very first question we've been talking about is like, how do you listen and understand? Communication in any relationship, whether it be with the people you work with, whether it be with your romantic partner, your family, communication is key.
And I think what Ross said ties into that really nicely. You can't communicate your values, thoughts, feelings to someone else if you don't really know what they are yourself. You have to figure out exactly how you feel about something and what's important to you and why it's important to you so that you can effectively communicate that to someone else. Because I think a lot of the time in relationships as well, when couples aren't communicating, they get really upset with their partner for not being able to read their mind. And it's also really interesting when I work with couples in therapy. If I ask Ross, for example, what is important to Steph? What are her values? And what is the underlying meaning behind all this? How much they just couldn't answer that. Because they don't know. They don't know what their partner's values are. They haven't asked and they haven't allowed the space to hear that.
And we had Mon in doing professional development with us at the studio about communication. And not long after you were in, there was a situation and I had to bring your workshop back up to be like, the communication wasn't clear. They're like, but I was doing all these things. It's like, but did you literally go to this other staff member and say, hey, this is happening. Because this is happening, it's impacting me X, Y, Z. It's like, oh, I thought I was being clear. But did you actually go and have that conversation? Were you? Did they receive the message?
Was the message received?
Yes, that's where I'm trying to get to. Because it's one thing to be able to throw out all those behaviors to be like, and it's another thing that they pick up what you put laying down, and they don't always pick up what you're laying down. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode of the Uncovered Podcast, I would absolutely love it if you could leave a review. As a thank you, I will send you our Addictive Pole Fitness Invert Bundle, the ultimate guide to helping you strengthen your inverts. It includes not one, but two invert conditioning videos with options for beginner, intermediate, and advanced, and a stretch video. To access this freebie, all you need to do is leave a review, share a screenshot of that review with Uncovered at addictivepolefitness.com, and I will send you our must-have invert bundle straight to your inbox.